As a priest, I've been privileged to take groups of people to Jerusalem to see Jerusalem and the Holy Land. And one of the highlights is when we come into the city of Jerusalem, there's sort of an anticipation that builds because you kind of come over a mountain ridge and then into a valley. And then in the middle of this valley, there is a small ridge, and that is where Temple Mount is. So either side you come in from, three quarters of the sides you come in from, you can see Temple Mount. And this is the same Temple Mount that Jesus was in. He was in this same area when he was went to the temple area today. So at the time of Jesus, though, when he was born, actually Herod the Great had made the platform even larger. So there's this huge platform, 37 acres, that is all huge limestones. It's a big plaza. And in the middle of that was the temple. And there was these porticos and everything else. So this is where Jesus had gone. It's this place that is holy. It's the dwelling place of God. It's where sacrifices are offered. These guys are selling these things to be offered. The sheep, the doves, they sell grains as well. All of these things that are offered up in the temple. And the purpose of those offerings is to make people right with God, right? So that they can be ritually pure, ritually clean. They can be in covenant with God and receive His blessings. This is where Jesus is. And when people come to the temple, they come and they see this beautiful building, and they're meant to be in awe. It's the way that Herod built the temple. He wanted it to be greater than Solomon's temple, one of the wonders of the world that got destroyed 500, 600 years before this. So he wanted to be sort of a new Solomon and to be known throughout the world. So he created this huge temple. It's very ornate. They were working on it for 46 years, and at the time of Jesus, as he notes, they're still working on it. So this is this place that they are going to. And so Jesus goes here to this sacred place. Again, it's got the Holy of Holies there. It's got these different courts for the men and the women, and then for the Gentiles. And that's actually where Jesus is going into, because in this court of Gentiles, it's meant to be a place for them to come and pray, those who are not Jews, but are coming to Jerusalem just to see it. They're supposed to be a place where they can go and pray. And instead of it being that, these leaders of the temple, the priests and whatnot, they have filled it with money changers and with animals. So there's not a place for them to come and to pray. They've made it a marketplace. So this is where Jesus goes. And now he says this thing that's sort of unnerving. He says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it." Like, we know, because we are after the resurrection, we know that Jesus suffered and then died, and then 3 days later, on the third day, he rose from the dead. But for them to hear this from Jesus before the resurrection would have been very challenging. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. What's he making himself out to be? The new temple? Like, what does that even mean? So I just invite you to wrestle with that and think through, what does it mean that Jesus is the new temple? So when you think of the temple, the place of sacrifice, where people are reconciled with God, in right relationship, in covenant with God, when they offer sacrifices in the Old Testament, those sins are not actually forgiven. They're made in right relationship. They're ritually clean, but the sins are not forgiven. They're just restored to the covenant, fidelity. But the overcoming of sin and communion with God has not been achieved. And so when Jesus says he is the new temple, then there's something that is different about him. He's going to bring about a new covenant. Where when people do enter into the covenant through him and in him, they become sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Their sins are truly forgiven. And then they can have a new heart, like the prophets, like Ezekiel longs for people to have a new heart that's clean, where we can actually love God and be purified, have a true love for God. And so as we hear that, then Jesus is this place. He's the one to whom we come. To enter into right relationship with God. You think about, this is actually the purpose of the church. The church exists to continue this ministry of Jesus, who is the temple. And it's why we build spaces for churches like this, so that people can come to a place that's hopefully beautiful, that leads to some level of awe and inspiration. So we don't have build auditoriums for church. We build sacred spaces that connote that there is something special and dignified and sacred here. So the church should be beautiful. And the church, the way this particular church is built, it tells us about this sacrifice of Jesus. The altar is always the center of the church. It's the place where this sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our salvation is renewed. It's like being in a time machine in the sense that Jesus, that sacrifice of Jesus is made present to us when we come to Mass. So he breaks into our time to redeem us here, to restore us, to forgive our sins here, to give us his resurrected body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. So the altar is the center. Of course, we have the tabernacle, which where we keep the Eucharist for those who are sick, where it is the place where Jesus dwells. So we show that reverence when we come into this church. But the other aspects of this church also remind us that this is a place of covenant and covenant renewal. The upper windows have the covenant of creation that's renewed with Noah and then Abraham and Moses and David. And then the lower windows are the new covenant in Jesus Christ, starting with the Annunciation and going to Pentecost. So this is the purpose of this church building, to remind us that we are coming here to Jesus, the one who restores us into right relationship with God. It's his love that we're entering into. So this is why the church exists. In our parish, we say that the church exists, our parish, to meet, know, live, and share Jesus. That people would meet Jesus so that they may have the encounter with the one who can restore us to right relationship with God. So that we can go in knowledge of him. So that we can have life in him and live together in community with him and with others who are seeking him. And then share him with others. To meet, know, live, and share Jesus. This is why this parish exists. So everything that we do should in some way be related to this mission that God has given us, because Jesus is the temple. He is the one who restores us to right relationship with God. If that's not why we're here, then this building has no purpose. The signs and things that are all around have no meaning. But instead, we say that, yes, this does have meaning. Now, when we think about the church, sometimes we think that the church exists for behavior modification, right? So you're supposed to follow the rules. Right? That's what if we read the first reading, the Ten Commandments, we think, okay, yeah, I'm supposed to follow all the rules. And if I do that, then I can be part of the church. That's actually not why the church exists. It does not exist for behavior modification. It exists so that we can be in right relationship with God, and in order to do that, then we would want to follow the law, the Ten Commandments. So the relationship with God, loving God, is first, and then our behavior changes. So I invite you to think then about the Ten Commandments as they relate to reverence for God and the mystery of God and his love for us. If you put reverence for God first, then I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods, makes sense, because I want to be reverent towards the one true God. Do not take the name of your Lord, the Lord your God, in vain, because his name should be holy. Keep holy the Sabbath. He's created all time and space to save this one day to worship him. Reverence for God. And then the other commandments, the next seven, deal with the relationship with the people and reverence for those people and their things. So honor your father and your mother, reverence for the family, do not kill, reverence for other persons, do not commit adultery, reverence for marriage, do not bear false witness, reverence for people's reputation, do not steal, reverence for their things that they have been entrusted with. And 9 and 10 relate to 6 and 8 with do not covet people's relationships, do not covet people's possessions. It's all about reverence for the God who has created us. So that, yes, our behavior changes once we come to know the one who is perfect love, Jesus himself, the new temple, the one who restores us to right relationship with God. This week I invite you to think about, how do you show reverence for God? Just before Mass, I was talking to the altar servants and saying, every time we say the name of Jesus, we should bow our head slightly. That's a way to show reverence for him, who is the God-man, who has restored us to relationship with God. When you pass the church, you should make the sign of the cross, because Jesus is present here, and this is a holy place. So I invite you to think, like, what particular commandment do you struggle with in giving reverence to God? Maybe it's language. Maybe it's using God's name in vain. So if you use the name of God in vain, I encourage you to make the sign of the cross or say, God, I'm sorry, in penance. If you struggle with gossip, then this week be humbly attentive to this reality and do some sort of penance that will help you to overcome that, to show reverence for other people and their good reputation. If it's the Sabbath, keeping the Lord's Day holy, maybe intentionally focus on what you can do this day to have reverence for God in this day of rest that He's given us. Whether read scriptures or spend time with family, pray together in thanksgiving with your family for the blessings that God has given us. But God wants us, Jesus has come as the one who is the new temple. When the people saw the temple, they were filled with awe. It's a beautiful place. When we come here to Jesus, we should be filled with awe. Him who is the beautiful one, who has restored us to right relationship with God. If we come here with that attitude of heart, then we will want to change our behavior. The Ten Commandments will simply make sense because we have reverence for God and all that He has created. This week, how can you show reverence to God?